Acts 13. We're going to look at verses 42 through the end of the chapter. Acts 13. And let's go ahead and read this, and then we'll come back. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words, which Paul had preached and spoken to them, would be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now, we pick up In Acts here, chapter 13, in the first the verse 42 from last week. Last week we noted that Paul and his company, Barnabas and others, they were seated in a synagogue in Antioch. And after the ruler of the synagogue had finished speaking, he said, "Is there anybody who, you men and brethren, as it says in verse 15, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." And Paul and Barnabas, doing so, they stood up and they preached the grace of God. They preached the gospel to these people. Now, in this section, we notice some Gentiles present. And they're wanting to hear. Look at how it's worded. In verse 42, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words," that's the title of this message, "these words." They wanted to hear, the Gentiles wanted to hear, they wanted to have these words preached to them. And again, what are these words? It is none other than the words of the gospel of the grace of God. Look at verse 43. "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them, encouraged them, exhorted them, pressed them to continue," what? "In the grace of God." That's all that these men, Paul and Barnabas, also that's all that every believer desires to hear, desires to speak of, and any pastor that's worth his metal, it's the same thing. The words of grace. The gospel of God's grace. Because you notice, he says that in verse 42, that these words, what words? The grace of God. That these words, the words that Paul preached, he didn't preach law. He didn't preach to them what you had to do in order to be saved. He didn't preach to them Abraham, a person, or Moses, a person. He spoke what those men who knew the grace of God preached. Because we also notice, turn back to chapter 11 in Acts, and look at verse 23, Barnabas, he went to Antioch in verse 22. He was sent for from Jerusalem. The elders there sent him to Antioch to find out what was going on. Barnabas, verse 23 in Acts 11, who, when he came to Antioch and had seen what? The grace of God, was glad. If he'd have seen these people marching to denominational do's and don'ts, he wouldn't have been glad. Had he seen among them strife and contention, he wouldn't have been glad. But he saw the grace of God in them. And how do you see the grace of God in any sinner? You preach the grace of God, and they believe the grace of God. Now, if I preach the works of man, if I preach the worth and merit of man, if I preach denominational ordeology, the orders and church orders and church structures and the teachings of men, when folks come in here, they'll say, oh yeah, those people act just like John Calvin. Those people act just like the reformers. And that's okay to some extent. But my point is, I'm trying to make a point. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they followed, they loved, they worshiped Christ through that which was preached, the grace of God. There's no other message but the grace of God. When they, the Jews, or the Gentiles, when the services had broken up, they besought these. They besought Paul in verse 42 in our text, that they might, that these words might be preached, not debated, not discussed, not, though when we gather together, fellowship, that fellowship is a, the term is, it's centered around a person. You, and when we get together, we discuss the things of the grace of God. I like what Spurgeon said, when the brethren get together, instead of talking about the weather and talking about this and that, that we often do, we ought to talk about the promises of God, what God has given to us. He said, and then when times get tough, he said, in Spurgeon's book, According to Promise, he said, gather the promises, and you're reading the Word, and the Lord shows you a promise. We date it. I write it down, I underline it, and I date it. And then Spurgeon made the comment, because he was a believer, struggled like you and I, when things get difficult, go back. He said, and then spend those promises at leisure. But Lord, you promised. And it all has to do with the grace of God. He says in verse 38 of the of this chapter, be it known unto you all, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Christ, the zenith of grace, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's grace, not the works of men. Not what you do, A, B, C's, do or don't do. It's all in this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have just a couple points here this morning. And the first one is what these folks, the Gentiles, what they desired to hear was none other than the grace of God. And that's the only gospel there is. Teach unto us, speak to us these words. The gospel of the grace of God, because you see it in verse 43, they persuaded them. They didn't preach one thing and then say something else. There's pastors, or so-called pastors, preachers, people, leaders of congregations, and Bruce and I, which she's not down there any longer because I was down there in Sykeston and they have the name of the pastor on there. It's not the same guy. There's a church down in Sykeston Bruce and I went to years ago. And he talked about grace in his study, but said he would not preach them. It's exactly what he said, because it'll cause trouble. I would not want to be that man in the day of judgment, because he's going to have to give an account. Which now, I look at it now, if the man wouldn't preach them, he didn't know them. He didn't believe them. You cannot deny what God has done for you if you know Him. Now, I know we struggle and I know we sin. And you say, well, what about Peter? Well, in any given moment, any given time, we will. But God's grace is greater. And He will cause us to be so smitten that we will die for Him. We will live for Him. We'll glorify Him. So they wanted to hear these Gentiles. The Gentiles said, preach these words to us. And then they exhorted them in verse 43 to continue in the grace of God. They didn't preach one thing and say something else. No double standards here. No, we don't talk about this other stuff at home and then something else here. No. No, I don't want to do this in front of the people of church because, no. What you see is what you get. And that's what, when you go to any of these conferences and you talk to, you stay with people, or you mingle with the brethren, it's the same thing. What you see is what you get. Now they wanted to hear, I got 2 points in this section, they wanted to hear the grace of God, the gospel, the grace of God. They wanted to hear about grace in Christ. The unmerited free favor of God in the person of Jesus Christ, whereby sinners are forgiven and freely given the righteousness that God will accept, and that is only the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. That's what they wanted to hear. And we dissected, to some extent, Paul's message in the same chapter earlier, and where did he start? He started with God. Then Paul stood up in verse 16, and we'll jump back to last week just a little bit. He stood up, beckoning with his hands, men of Israel, you men that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He started with God. He started with Jehovah. He started with His sovereign election. He chose a people. He chose our fathers. And He delivered them out of the hand of Egypt. He talked about His free salvation, the way He delivers. He talked about God and His omnipotence and His right to rule and reign and govern as He sees fit. And then he gets to the next thing, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die and yet raise from the dead, who's the only Savior, the only one that has salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He spoke about sin. But these Gentiles, they wanted to hear that message, as opposed to works. As opposed to works. And many in our day talk about grace. They have it in their church's name, like we do. But listen for a short time and works creeps into the conversation or is evident in their church order or in their programs. People talk about grace. If there's anybody who's religious, they'll talk about, well, no, we believe in grace. But you listen to them, and their definition is not the definition of this book. And these Gentiles, they wanted to hear of these words. They wanted to hear about the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness from their sins and all iniquity, as opposed to what they could do or what they couldn't do. Because the Pharisees and the Jews, because you got 2 groups of people going on here. You got the Gentiles who want to hear grace, and you got the Jews who are steeped in law and works. God saves by grace, not something like it or close to it. Grace alone, Christ alone, the Scriptures alone, which exalts God alone. As I've mentioned from this pulpit numerous times, and Lynn and I were talking about this the other day again, there are only 2 religions in the world. There's only 2 religions in the world. Abel, Cain and Abel. Abel, grace, and Cain, works. Now, the believer is careful to maintain good works. Don't misunderstand me, but that flows from a heart that's been changed by the grace of God. And then, like James says, James isn't confusing. It's not unto salvation, it's after salvation. And we don't look to our works at any time to make us feel better, or it was for a good cause and I felt good when I did it. Those are human terms. But we do, if we do anything that honors and glorifies God after He's redeemed us, it's because of Christ in us, our hope of glory. And like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's not anything of ourselves. Cain and Abel. And even in this lesson and in this passage, you see both these groups and both these religious ways and their prospective attitudes and actions. The Gentiles in verses 47 through 49 and 52. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard that, they were glad. Oh my, they were glad. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. And then you've got, that's grace, that's the religion of Abel. Then you've got the religion of Cain, works. The Jews represented here are shown here, verses 44 through 46 and verse 50. And the next Sabbath day, almost the whole town came together, verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, you would think that these men had healed some, they'd helped some, just like our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Mark. All the things that they had done for the good of that town and that community and that region, it didn't matter. It's like, it's all it is bad karma. All it is like politics. And that's why preachers especially do not need to be mingling any of that kind of stuff. Stand up and preach the gospel and live the gospel and believe the gospel. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and look at what they accused, these Jews. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And in verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. This reaction is not new, but is expected. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This reaction is nothing new, but rather Paul and Barnabas expected it. Because every time the gospel is preached, you're going to get some kind of reaction. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Now, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ in them that are saved, and also in them that perish. To the one, the gospel and the message that's preached, this word of exhortation, to speak this word of grace to us, we are the Savior of death unto death, and the other the Savior of life unto life. The gospel's preached, some people it's life, and others it's death. Works and grace. The reaction here is not new, as I said, but it's expected. And I tell you and I exhort you, if you are a believer here this morning, do not try to house these two together. It can't be done. Law will never cooperate with grace. Law will persecute grace. Grace shouldn't persecute law. And Paul says, and that's why Paul says in a later place, do not be unequally yoked. And when I'm looking at this, look at, again, at the Pharisees. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, and contradicting and blaspheming. If you're around people, suffer me a little. If you're around people that do not like your pastor, do not like what he preaches, do not like those men that we've had in, or anything similar, those who we haven't had in, but you know preaches the gospel, get away. I don't know how much more plainer I can be. Because it's not, is God going to keep you? Yeah, He's going to keep you. Why do you presume upon the grace of God? Separate yourself from such situations. Separate yourself from such situations. This is Paul and Barnabas are preaching, and those people, they purposely speak against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Do you hate those people? No, there's no warrant in this book to hate. We love our enemy that we're supposed to do and pray for them. I'm not saying that. But when you speak the truth and they contradict, and I'm talking about people at work, I'm talking about family and friends, you tell them the gospel because they're not going to hear it unless you tell them. But be cautious, because when you speak these things, they're going to contradict and they're going to filled with envy. They're going to speak against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Paul says, you know what? We're just going to go our way. He didn't. They were bold and they said it was necessary that the Word of God should come to you first, but you put it from you. You judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. We turn to the Gentiles. Don't stop preaching the gospel. You keep on. But if people won't hear it, you can't force them. And I know, you know, it's tough situations. We all deal with difficult situations. And again, be sure you hear what I'm saying. I am not saying that you are unkind or unpleasant. But you must remember we're talking about spiritual things and your best interest and the glory of God. And you might think you're being humble and you might think you're being used to teach or whatever. In reality, you need to flee. I remember a gentleman, and Melinda and I know this man very well. We thought that he understood the grace of God, and certain situations happened to him which he would have called very difficult, and they happened to me. And they happened to Melinda. And they've happened to us. So there was no difference in the things he went through. Some of the things we went through together. And then I asked him what he was doing. I caught up with him and he called. He was at a church in Chicago that was completely 100% Armenian, free will. But he said he was going to stay there because he thought the Lord would use him to change those people's minds. You're in enemy territory. And I told him, I said, a wise man foresees evil. And heard from him one more time after that. And he started questioning the very grace of God that was so dear to both of us. I'm not so sure that's exactly the way that says. There you go. There you go. The road to perdition is pleasant. The road to perdition is easy. The second point is, we as believers, regardless of the situation here or what we're in, we rejoice because God is still in control and victory is sure. Look at verses 48, 51, and 52. Verses 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, the gospel. Some are going to hear. Some are going to hear. And believe. Look at verses 51. But when they shook the dust off their feet against them, they came to Iconium. And verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's take verse 52 first. Joy, because God's will shall be done. That's why they rejoiced. They went through persecution. They got kicked out of a town. That would be like the churches gathering together in Jackson with the mayor. You know, I know, but I don't know how much that would do me any good. Anyway, members of the city council. Well, now it'd be like them all gathering together and saying, you know, we know what you're about, and we don't think Jackson, you know, we don't think Jackson wants to hear this anymore. And I could say, but you know, when I drive into Jackson, I got there's a big old sign that says, you know, beautiful homes, beautiful churches, you know, it's got all that in there. Friendly. Well, but not to that message. Not to those words. Rejoice. Be difficult. But we rejoice. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they knew God's will shall be done. Secondly, joy because sinners shall be saved. You can't, this until the last elect is redeemed, this thing's going to go on. And thirdly, we rejoice because nothing in heaven or on earth can thwart the purpose and goal of divine grace. It shall be accomplished. Nothing can thwart God's divine grace. Secondly, we rejoice, however, because God is still in control and victory is sure. The first thought was we rejoice in verse 52, our joy. We have joy. And secondly, verse 51, you go on your way. Do your duty. Enjoy your privilege. Verse 51, they shook the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium. They didn't spit on them. They didn't go to the court against them and sue them and try to get money. They shook the dust off. That's pretty harmless, humanly speaking. They didn't lift a finger. They said, God, you're the judge. You judge them. I like what Jackie said the other day, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but she said, you just pray to the Lord, just shut that thing down. He shut it down. Place where the gospel is supposed to be preached, but it's not being preached, shut it down. Lord, if it be your will, that's the main thing. If it be your will, shut it down. If not, we go on our way. We'll go on our way. We'll do our duty. We'll enjoy our privilege. It may mean going the opposite way of friends, family, jobs, or positions, but go your way. His way. Shake the dust off, and they went to Iconium. Place. We don't have a church here. Let's go here and start preaching the gospel. Don't lose sight of why you are pilgrimaging here on this earth. Set your eyes upon Christ and honor Him. Be with the brethren. Be with them in the Word, in the worship of God. Go together serving Christ in this generation. You're not responsible for what happened in Jackson before you were born. You're not responsible for what's going to go on in this place after you're gone. But while you're here, in your generation, in my generation, go the way of Christ and keep preaching Him. And keep worshiping Him. And where these people are gathered together, be among them and worship with them. And verse 48, there is peace in all this turmoil. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, that the gospel was going to be as they desired. Oh, I wish this whole city would. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Everybody's so religious, so steeped like the Jews in their tradition and in their works. But wouldn't that be something? So you know what? We want to hear it. Okay. Here's the grace of God. There's peace to be had in all this turmoil. Look at this. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That is straight and narrow, strong doctrine. right in the middle, almost like an anchor for weary preachers and weary people. Persecution on the right hand, persecution on the left hand. The word of the Lord was glorified. The people were glad and rejoiced in it. And incidentally, as many as were ordained to eternal life lived. There's peace because there are some who will believe. They're chosen by God the Father. They're going to be redeemed by the Son. And they're going to be quickened by the Spirit. It's sure as sure can be. Why? Because, let me reread that, the last part. As many as were ordained. The Greek word is assigned. You guys do assignments? Now, I know you do assignments generally. This is the reading assignment. You ever do specific assignments? For specific kids? For specific reasons? On purpose. You decided if you want to do that or not. Unless the kid came up and said, I need some extra help. Here's the assignment. Joanne and Bobby and Steve and Carla, you four. I'm specifically assigning this. Yeah, Wayne, that's not fair. Is your name up here? The potter and the clay. What peace that affords struggling sinners. As many as were ordained, assigned to salvation by God. As many as were ordained to eternal life. That means that word eternal life means endless and perpetual. And the word believed is to have confidence in one, in someone else, or in this case, to have confidence in Christ. It means reliance, total, complete reliance. So as many as were assigned to an endless and perpetual life relied upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sure as sure can be. Now I close going back to verse 42. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. Do you desire to hear these words? It's like Peter said, like the disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do you desire to hear these words? I tell you and beseech you, hear them. Oh, believe them and come to Christ all the days of your life. Matt, would you close, please?